The following talk was given by Norm Randolph at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on October 13, 2019. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming today. The title of my talk today is called Be a Light Unto Yourself. This is from a statement by the Buddha. The Buddha said, be a light unto yourself. Betake yourselves to no external refuge. Hold fast to the truth. Look not for refuge to anyone besides yourselves. So our practice in its most essential form is to live as we truly are. I'm sorry, I forgot to adjust this. Do you think they picked it up? Good, okay. I won't repeat myself. Our practice is to live as we truly are, to live as the true self. And this statement by the Buddha points to what this practice is. There was a famous Zen master in China in the Tang Dynasty named Changsha. And he had a famous expression. He would say, the entire universe in all directions is the light of the true self. This light of the true self is what we truly are. It's our true self, our true nature, which is the Buddha nature, awakeness itself. This, the whole universe is this true self. This light of the true self. There's nothing outside of this reality or outside the true self, nothing outside this light of awakeness. It's a reality of wholeness and totality. Can't find anything in dualistic relationship to it. It's not something in particular. It's not something that can be seen as an object. It's not something that can be described conceptually. The attempts to describe it are pointers to help loosen up the way we attach to our ideas about what our true self is and what reality is. But whatever is said about this reality or about this light of awakeness doesn't completely say it. It's not something that can be packaged within a conceptual description, no matter whether it's a written description or a verbal description. This is a boundless reality of wholeness. It's not something that could be encapsulated within limited conceptual models of how things are. So it can't be seen objectively or understood conceptually. But it's also not something that could be hidden either. We can't, as I said, we can't see it objectively or understand it conceptually, but it's not hidden. It's right here. It's being manifested here now, not as an object, not as something we can see as an object, but it's being experienced right now by everybody. It can't be hidden. Everything's a manifestation of it, and it's being directly experienced here and now. So this, but usually we overlook it. This is a big problem for us. We overlook it by getting caught up in our ideas about what it is, getting caught up in our beliefs and ideas. And we keep thinking about it as something in particular that we can grasp conceptually or see objectively, and we understand it in this way, and so we overlook it. We overlook the actual direct experience, which can't be seen objectively or understood conceptually. So this is not something that's in dualistic relationship to anything else. Everything, every individual thing or phenomena, every thought, feeling, emotion, or desire is a manifestation of this light of awakeness. There's nothing in dualistic relationship to it. All the things that appear are manifestations of it, and it is always being directly experienced here and now. This light is not something that comes from a particular source. It's not something that shines on separate particular objects. It's not something separate. It's not something in particular. This light of awakeness or true self or wholeness or Buddha nature or totality, different ways of looking at this light of awakeness. This is a reality in which nothing in particular can be found, but which functions and manifests itself in such a way as to bring about the appearance of separate particular things. And usually we're very much caught by this appearance. We very much believe that we're living in a reality that is dualistically structured. There's me, and then there's all these other separate particular things. We see ourselves living in this dualistically structured reality where there's me, and then there's these separate things. And we deeply believe that. We're very much taken in by the appearance of how this reality manifests. And also, we get very much caught up in the ideas and beliefs about the ideas. We get very much caught up in our ideas and beliefs about ourselves and others and all the phenomena that appear. And we get caught up in our ideas and beliefs about the nature of reality. And we hold to our beliefs and live our life based on believing that reality corresponds to our ideas and beliefs rather than living our life with awareness to direct here and now experience. We overlook this directly experienced here and now reality, this light of awakeness, this light of the true self. We overlook that in favor of our limited views about what it is. So our practice is to see and let go of how this reality, this light of awakeness, light of the true self, to see how this light is ignored and to fully live this life. This doesn't mean to throw away our ideas about how things are. It doesn't mean to ignore appearances either, but usually we're one-sidedly caught by our beliefs that reality exactly corresponds to the ideas we have about it, and we believe it exactly corresponds to the appearances, the dualistic appearances. Because we understand our life in this way and live our life based on these beliefs, we overlook the actual direct experience of this life. We get caught up in our conceptual models and limited views of what this life is, what this light is, and ignore the actual directly experienced light of the true self, which is always being experienced here and now. The practice is to see when this is going on, seeing when we're caught up in our limited views, seeing when we're caught by the belief that we're living in dualistic relationship to other things, seeing when we're caught up in the belief that we are separate individuals who are interacting with other separate individuals and things and phenomena to cause other separate things and individuals and phenomena to appear. We get very much taken in by our beliefs about separation and understand our life in that way. We don't understand causality. We think that causality is interaction between two separate things that brings about that causes some other separate event or separate thing to show up. So we get we're very much taken in by our ignore this light. We fail to see that this light is all inclusive. It's not, there's nothing outside of it. There's nothing lacking in it. So I'll say a little bit about Buddha's statement. Buddha said, be a light unto yourself. This is saying, be this light. Live this light. Already this is your true life. Live that true life. Live your true self. But usually we don't. Usually we ignore our true self and get caught up in our limited views and live our life based on our limited views rather than living out of this light of awakeness or awareness, which is our true self. So Buddha goes on to say, betake yourselves to no external refuge. Betake is, when he says, he's saying, don't go to some external refuge, thinking that you have to go someplace other than here and now to find your stability and security. You're not looking for something apart from you. You're not trying to get to something apart from your direct experience here and now. So Buddha says, don't go to some external refuge. When we think that our practice and our need is to go to some external refuge, we're overlooking that there's nothing external to this true self. Even though reality manifests itself in such a way, it looks like there's internal and external and here and there and now and then and this and that. We get one-sidedly caught by that appearance and we overlook the fact that ultimately you can't find anything external to you, even though conventionally it looks like that. So we're not looking for something apart from us that we can get to and then find pleasure, security, and stability. It's not about searching for something we're lacking. It's to be what we are. Buddha goes on to say, hold fast to the truth. And when Buddha says this, he doesn't mean that the truth is something separate from you that you can hold on to. The truth is your life. Truth, reality, is your life. It's not something apart from you that you need to try and hang on to in a dualistic sense. There's me and I'm hanging on to this particular situation called the truth. It's not like that. The practice is to be this truth. And already we are. It's just we usually overlook the fact that we are this truth, that our life is this truth. Buddha goes on to say, look not for refuge to anyone besides yourselves. He could also have said, look not for refuge to anyone or anything besides yourselves. Your practice is to live as you truly are. It's not about trying to find something in particular and then try to hang on to it or to, the pleasure and security and stability is found in our living out this here now directly experienced reality or light of the true self. We don't need to look someplace else other than here now. Our practice is to fully live here and now. But usually we don't, as I've been saying. We get caught up in our ideas and beliefs and ignore here now directly experienced reality. And live our life based on our limited views about what it is. So these really can't find something separate from you in the universe. It looks like there's me and all these other separate things. It seems that way, and usually we deeply believe that, but we need to look at our actual direct experience, and eventually it becomes clear that ultimately you don't find things separate from you. Our practice is to fully live this reality in which we live inseparably from all beings. But without clinging to the idea, I live inseparably from all beings, or without clinging to the idea, my true self is this light of awakeness. We don't need to cling to ideas about it. That, once again, we're just getting caught up in our limited views about what this is. Rather than getting caught up in our limited views, just directly experience this reality and allow our attachment to our limited views and beliefs to naturally drop away by itself and try to fully live this light of awakeness. If we're not trying to get rid of ideas or beliefs, they're very helpful in enabling us to function in reality, conventional reality, which seems to be a divided up situation. They're very helpful. But the problem is we usually get one-sidedly attached to our ideas and beliefs and taken in by appearances and ignore this all-inclusive light of the true self, this light of awakeness. Buddha talked about taking refuge in the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha. But when he's doing that, he's not talking about taking refuge in something outside of yourself. Buddha is talking about fully entrusting yourself to the Buddha, to the Buddha in this sense, meaning this reality of awakeness that is being directly experienced here and now. The Dharma is the truth or reality that is directly experienced now. We're already inseparable from Dharma. Dharma also means teaching, and this is the teaching that is directly experienced moment after moment. Already our life is truth. We're inseparable from truth. It's not about trying to find something else and then take refuge in it or try to hold on to it. The Sangha, the ultimate Sangha, is the life of all beings, where we live inseparably from all beings. This is practices to live this ultimate Sangha, to live this reality where we're living inseparably from all beings. All beings are functioning together, mutually assisting each other. But this, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like looking at it in the conventional, from a conventional point of view, it seems like there are a lot of beings who are struggling and fighting against each other and in competition with each other. this reality manifests with that appearance. But if we, in looking carefully at this, our direct experience, it can eventually be realized that we're living in a reality where all beings are functioning together inseparably and mutually assisting each other. Even though it manifests in such a way as to give the appearance of a reality where there's lots of fighting and competition. Seeing it more deeply, we can realize that all these beings who seem to be in competition and fighting each other are functioning together, living one universal life, mutually assisting each other. We have to let go of our preconceived ideas and beliefs and allow ourselves to see that. Usually we don't. We hold on so tightly and attach so strongly to our limited ideas and beliefs that we overlook this situation where we're one with all beings and being supported by all beings. And we have the great opportunity in each moment to express our gratitude to all beings. If we really see this, then we can feel gratitude for all beings, even if, in a conventional sense, it doesn't look like they're helping us. So Dogen, the Den teacher Dogen, I talk about him a fair amount. A lot of us at Dharma Field talk about Dogen. We're reading some of Dogen's teachings during the training period. He's a very important teacher in our tradition. He brought our form of Zen Buddhism from China to Japan. And so Dogen is a very highly respected and important teacher in our tradition. And he had a disciple named Koan Ajo. And Koan Ajo wrote an essay, and I'll read some of it today. He wrote an essay called, and in this essay, Koan Ajo, Dogen's disciple, called This Light of the True Self, the Great Komyozo, which means the treasury of radiant light. We're all living this treasury of radiant light. And Koan Ajo said, I have some earnest advice for those who sincerely aspire to practice. Do not be pulled by a particular state of mind or by an object. Do not rely upon your intellect. Do not attach to what you have heard in the lecture hall. Neither seek to be enlightened, nor try to drive away delusion. Neither hate the arising of thoughts, nor love thoughts and identify with them. Then Koan Ajo says, cast your body and mind into the great Komyozo and never look back. Cast your body and mind into this treasury of radiant light, which is already our true life. It's not about throwing our life into something separate from us. It's to fully live this reality that is our true life right now. This is the essence of our practice, to fully live this light of the true self right now. So Koan Ajo says, do not be pulled by a particular state of mind or by an object. Usually we are pulled by a particular state of mind. We want to get some particular state of mind, maybe a peaceful state of mind or an enlightened state of mind or a happy state of mind. We think of some particular state of mind and we think we'd want to get to that. We think maybe Zen practice can be a means to get to that. We're trying to get some particular object, thinking that if I could just get that thing I want so much, I would be happy. If I could just get $1 million, I'd be so happy. But eventually, $1 million won't do it for you. Eventually. Though I must say, I would be very happy to have $1 million at some point. But some particular object isn't going to do it. Our suffering still goes on. The only way we can be released from suffering is to live as we truly are, to settle down in this reality where we and all beings are functioning together, mutually assisting each other, and to settle down in this reality where everything is included. To settle down in this reality that where nothing is lacking. Even though from a conventional point of view, it does seem like things are lacking. But in this practice, we can see and let go of when we're caught up in our limited conventional ideas and realize, give ourselves the opportunity to realize that we're not lacking anything. Already our true nature is the Buddha nature. Already we're living a reality where all beings are helping us and we have the great opportunity to help all beings. Already this is going on. It's a great opportunity. Coenadro goes on to say, do not rely upon your intellect. He doesn't mean to throw out our intellect. Conventionally, we need our intellect to function in everyday, seemingly dualistic, conventional reality. You know, it isn't to throw out our intellect, but usually we think that we can understand our life in its ultimate sense by using our intellect to try and figure it out. But it's not something that can be figured out. No matter how much we juggle our concepts and trying to figure out what this reality is and what our true life is, it doesn't work. You know, this is a reality that can't be grasped conceptually. But yet we believe so much in this, our power to understand things conceptually, that we try to juggle our thoughts and ideas and figure out what this reality is. But no matter how much we do that, we never succeed. But we try, we keep trying, very much attached to the belief that if I could just get the right idea about this, or if I could just figure this out intellectually, I'd really understand it. Gotagaya Roshi used to say, we're always juggling our ideas, trying to figure it out. But no matter how much we juggle our ideas, we never can understand this reality. This reality can't be understood conceptually. It has to be directly realized. And we are already directly realizing it. So our practice is to see and let go of how we ignore this, what is being directly experienced, and fully live this reality, which is being directly experienced now. Coenadro says, do not attach to what you have heard in the lecture hall. Maybe you've heard a teacher say to, he may have said something that was really inspirational. But don't attach to that. It's not something that to cling to and say, what was said here by the teacher in the lecture I heard the other day, that is exactly how things are. I'm going to attach to this strongly and believe this 100%. That is so good, what he said. I'm just going to attach to it. But this, we're just once again getting caught up in ideas, attaching to some conceptual explanation of how things are. The you know, the explanation that the teacher gives can be helpful sometimes. It can help you let go of your strong attachment to the ideas you have. But it's not given to you with the expectation that you'll let go of the ideas you have and then attach to that wonderful idea. So even some wonderful teaching that is at the time very inspirational and helpful is don't attach to that. Even if it was very inspirational to you at the time. See, whatever is said as a pointer, just see as a pointer to this directly experienced here now reality. Kohanejo says, neither seek to be enlightened nor to drive away delusion. When I first started practicing, I thought that this practice was about trying to get enlightened. You know, I thought, well, this practice can be used as a technique to gain enlightenment, which is a state which I am very clearly lacking. And so I want to use practice as a technique to get enlightenment. And also, I have lots of delusions and confusion about my life. I'd like to drive all that away. So I use practice as a technique to do that, I thought. You know, but Kohanejo is saying, don't do that. Don't see this practice as a means to try and get something you're lacking or to get rid of something that you don't like about yourself. It's not about trying to get something, not about trying to get rid of something. This practice is to see and let go of how what you truly are is ignored and to fully live as you truly are. So Kohanejo says, don't seek to be enlightened. Don't try and get some state of enlightenment thinking you're lacking that state. And don't try and drive away delusions thinking that they're something bad and you have to get rid of them. To see everything as a manifestation of this light of awakeness, this light of the true self. Kohanejo goes on to say, neither hate the arising of thoughts nor love thoughts and identify with them. When I first started out in practice, I had the idea that I needed to get rid of thoughts. And I thought I don't know where I got this idea, but my teachers never said this, but I had the idea that if I could get rid of thoughts, have no thoughts for a 40-minute Zazen period, then I would attain enlightenment. If I could have no thoughts for 40 minutes, then I would get enlightenment. This is just an idea I cooked up. My teachers never said this, but when you're confused, as I most definitely was at the time, you tend to cook things up on your own about what this is. So I had that idea, and so sometimes I'd be sitting Zazen, and my mind would sometimes be very peaceful, and I'd think, I haven't had any thoughts for a while. This is great. No thoughts for a while. This is wonderful. I bet enlightenment is just around the corner. But then I thought to myself, wait a minute, I'm thinking again. So, this eventually I learned it's not about trying to get rid of thoughts. It's not about trying to hang on to your thoughts either. Trying to hang on. Here's a really good one. I'm going to really hang on tightly to that one. It's not about getting rid of them, not about hanging on to them. Not about identifying with some particular thoughts and thinking, this is really how it is. And just let all of that go. Just be this treasury of radiant light. Just be this directly experienced true self. Just be this awareness. We usually think, I, separate ego self, me, want to do something called being aware, but eventually it becomes clear that awareness is what we are. Awareness is not some particular state possessed by a particular individual. Awareness is what we are. It's the awakeness or enlightenment or Buddha nature that is what we truly are. It becomes clear. Awareness is what our life. It's this light of awakeness, and everything is a manifestation of it. And Kōnejo says, cast your body and mind into the great Komyozo, the treasury of radiant light, and never look back. Our Kōnejo is saying, fully entrust your life to this directly experienced here now reality. Fully entrust your life to this light of the true self. Be this reality. There's no, already we are this reality. There's no gap between ourselves and this reality. It's just we ignore it by getting caught up in our limited views and living based on our limited views rather than really living what is being directly experienced here now. So Kōnejo says, fully entrust yourselves to this reality. Let yourself be this reality. You already are. All we need to do is see and let go of how we ignore it and be this reality. So when we find ourselves caught up in our limited views and one-sided beliefs and assumptions, just resume the practice of being awake here and now. Just be aware, be awake here and now. Live this light of awakeness. This light of awakeness is our true life, our true self. Just be as you are. Live as the true self. Kōnejo says, never look back. Once we realize what this practice is, stay with it. Sometimes there's a tendency to think, well, you know, I really liked it when my goal was to try and get something I was lacking or to get rid of something I had that I didn't like. I really liked it. It gave me purpose in life. I think I'd like to go back to that way of life. But Kōnejo says, if you understand this way of life that he's pointing out to us, even a little bit, stay with it. Don't go back to your old habits. Don't go back to your old habits of trying to get something or to get rid of something. Just so, but our old habits die hard, you know. We tend to, we remember the good times we had chasing after things we thought we were lacking and all the sense of success we had when we got rid of something that we didn't like about ourselves. We really felt proud. And so maybe there's a tendency to want to go back to that. But Kōnejo says, once you realize what this is, never look back. Stay with this practice as much as you can. If you find yourself wanting to go back to old ways of life and living old habitual patterns of behavior, just be aware of that and resume the practice of living as you are, living as this treasury of radiant light. Okay. Well, do you have any questions about this? Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what is reality? It's a direct experience. Just can you elaborate on that?
What is reality? Yeah. Good question. We should ask that endlessly. It's what's directly experienced here now, but we can never pin that down. We can never define it. But we can live it. We're already living it. It's just we usually try to define it and see it objectively or try to pin it down in some way. And when we do that, we're overlooking the actual direct experience, which can't be pinned down. It can't be objectified. But here it is. It's our life. We and all beings are living that life. And it doesn't make sense when you first hear it. Is that okay? Okay. Thank you. Yes, Nancy.
Can we use our five senses to experience reality?
Excuse me?
Do we use our five senses to experience reality?
Everything. Everything is... Not to experience it objectively, but all of it is manifestation of reality. Each of our five senses are manifestations of this reality. Each of the objects of the five senses is a manifestation of this reality. Each state of consciousness that arises from the contact of our five senses with the objects of the is a manifestation of reality. Always this reality is being experienced. We don't need the five senses. Whatever is experienced is this reality.
How do we not need thinking?
Well, here it is. Thinking is very helpful. I don't mean to dismiss it. Thinking is very helpful in getting along in everyday conventional reality. It's very helpful. But we need to see beyond our limited conventional ideas. We need to function in this reality that where thinking is necessary, but without being caught that reality corresponds to the thoughts we have about it. Already this reality is being directly experienced without any without anything in between. Already we're inseparable from it. Can't be hidden. It's completely here. So, in this practice, we can let ourselves see that. See when we are looking at our limited views about what reality is. And just resuming the practice of not holding to that. Is that okay? Okay.
Yeah. You were talking about the three refuges not being something outside of yourself.
Right.
I wonder if you talk about Sangha specifically, and if you elaborate on that.
Talk about?
Sangha.
Sangha, yeah, yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's conventionally we might think of Sangha as, in a dualistic sense, as me and then this group of people that I'm a member of that group. But, you know, we're thinking of it as a group of separate individuals, and that it does seem that way. We don't ignore that appearance, and we don't throw that out. But if we, in this way of life, it can eventually be realized we're not separate from any of these individuals or things or phenomena that are showing up. So this Sangha, and it, that sounds very strange at first, I know that, but this Sangha, it can eventually realize it's a Sangha, it's a group or a reality in which all these beings are living inseparably from each other and functioning together without any hindrance or separation. And then when I say that, usually people say, oh, now wait a minute here. What are you talking about? Because then they look at all the trouble in the world, you know, and how you see all these people fighting each other and wars and impeachments and, you know, all sorts of struggle and hassle. But that's the conventional view. That's not the only way to see our life. We don't ignore it. We don't ignore that. But it is possible to see that our life is going on inseparably from all beings. Eventually, this sense of being a separate ego self living in dualistic relationship to other separate individuals and things. Eventually that belief can drop away. Continually being aware here and now, and that practice of awareness, these deeply held assumptions that we have about reality can drop away. And we can realize we're not actually separate. But this isn't hold of the idea, I'm not separate from everything. Once again, that's clinging to an idea. It's just to let yourself directly realize this reality where we're not separate from anything. Okay? I don't like giving these talks because I end up saying things that sound really crazy sometimes. Someone might say, sometimes, Norm? You always say something crazy. But I'm sorry. Yes. Oh, yes. Hi, Peter.
Really, I take a dualistic view of morality, and I come to the same problem in both halves. In one half, I think of others, you know, someone's about to touch a hot stone, and I shout, don't touch it. But then right away, I become judgmental, and I weave a story about the dangers of fire. And on the other hand, I look inward, and I think, you know, I'd be happier if I restrained myself. And then I think of restraint, which might be a little dangerous. And I weave a story about the dangers of being judgmental about that. Either case, I get lost in the story.
Yeah.
And what do you say to that?
Well, that's a very strong tendency for all of us to get caught up in our stories about how things are. It's very, this is a problem for all of us. we find a story to try and make sense of this. We try to want to intellectually understand it by creating a story to help it make sense. And that's all of us have that tendency to do that. It's just in this way we can see when we're doing that and just allow it to drop away. And it may be an interesting story or an entertaining story, and maybe we'll hang on to it for a little while for entertainment value, but it's usually we take them very seriously. We take our stories very seriously. And but that's a tendency for all of us. And so we all have that tendency, I think. Yeah, Peter.
I remember a couple passages in Dogen where he warns about preferences and dislikes and being judged.
Yeah.
And that kind of steadies me. I find that comforting and quieting.
Yeah, that's... It's very natural, very natural human tendency to have preferences, but we can see when we're caught up in them. When we see we're caught up in them, believing one-sidedly, it's quite natural and right that I have this preference. And when we see that going on, allow it to drop away. Don't hold on to it. A lot of this is just about letting go of how we interpret our life and allowing it to just manifest as itself without being caught by our interpretations. Mm-hmm. Yes,
Peter? In particular, the judgmental thing arises in our political situation.
Yeah.
I feel so strongly about people who treat other people with cruelty and disrespect and totally without love. And then I feel helpless and I get
Yeah, it's that, once again, a very strong tendency to do that, to be judgmental about people who are acting in a cruel way. But in a way, their cruelty comes out of their own ignorance and their own fear. If they really saw their lives clearly, they wouldn't be doing the cruel things they're doing. If they really saw their life clearly, they'd realize that they have a responsibility to help others and to have gratitude for others, because others are helping them. You know, and so if a person is acting with cruelty, it's because they don't see their life clearly. But yet, there is a tendency to feel angry at people who do cruel things. I mean, I do that too. When I hear about those poor children at the border being locked up, you know, I feel a little anger, you know. But that's just my way of responding to that. I don't have to hold on to that. The perpetrators of that situation, in a way, you have to feel sorry for them, that they can do a lot of the cruel things they do. That's because they themselves are in pain. They themselves are ignorant. They're in fear. If they weren't, they wouldn't do those things. So it's Avalokiteshvara, the great bodhisattva of compassion. He sees all beings with compassion. He sees them all as this great universal life, and wants to help all of them realize who they are and live their life as they are. He wants to help everybody, even the people who are doing cruel things. Okay? Yes, Mike?
Yeah, you mentioned not chasing after enlightenment and not trying to drag out the illusion.
Right.
Could you say a little more about that?
Well, everything is right here. We don't need to go chasing after something we think we're lacking. And everything is manifesting this life. It's not something we need to try and get rid of in a dualistic way. Even our anger is a manifestation of this life. If we see our anger in that way, then we can be compassionate toward our anger and not let anger take us over. So. Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.